Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Oh, all right. Morning, happy Sunday, and welcome to the seventh consecutive Mulaga Drive Hoops Betting Podcast. I am your host, Caleb, joined by the boy, the kid, the hoodie-less Sarge on this Sunday morning. I hope everyone is doing well. Actually, I apologize. I don't think many people were even able to listen. I thought it got posted, bro. I thought it got posted, and it didn't. I left it in the draft space like a dumb bitch, and I didn't post it till like 3:45. But if you did end up listening, it worked out. It worked out for the most part. So we'll get through our big recap. Had five plays yesterday. Always a little nervy when you have five plays. We go 3-2. First L was Kyle Kuzma, over 32.5 points, rebounds, and assists. He finished with 30. Shot 7 of 18 from the field. So right there, again, we've talked about it before. When you're going with props, you're going for minutes and usage. Kyle Kuzma played 36 minutes, took 18 shots, and missed 11 of them, you know? So he gets one rebound and makes one extra shot. We're there.
If he played anything but as the worst possible first half, he would have easily got there. He had three rebounds and like 4 points or something at half, or maybe even not even that much. It was just
he just couldn't make a single shot in the first half.
It was just really bad variance in the first half.
It was a tough first half variance that we got the normal second half. And again, finished with 16, 12 and two with 11 missed shots. So it was the usage in the minutes. Just sometimes it doesn't work out and we keep it rolling. Other L was the Hawks. Bro, I mean, I would have played it again. Like, I know the Hawks have been super bad, but it's like, I mean, this team hasn't won a home game in November. They're mostly healthy. DeAndre Hunter's back. I still like a lot of these players, but for whatever reason, it is just not clicking. And I know Capella's out. I know Bogey was out. But, like, there's still plenty of talent there. That was a 1.5 short number. You got to get it done. The Hawks are officially off the bet list for me until they prove they're back in any – like in some capacity. Like, it's
what just are they doing with John Collins, man? I didn't watch much of the game, but the guy played 28 minutes and only took 8 shots when there's no Capella. I mean
he has his lowest usage since his rookie year, bro. It's
I don't understand what's going on. That dude should be taking 20 shots. He's the second best player on the floor right now, and he's only playing 28 minutes.
Yeah. No, so I think what happened was, look. And I get it for last night. And I still think the shots got to be higher. But what happened last night was the Hawks looked awful. They looked awful the first half. They looked awful the first half of the third quarter. And then they brought this unit in of DeLon, Lou Will, Gallo, Onyeka, and I honestly want to say Timothy Luwalu-Cabarrot. And they were killing the Knicks. They cut a 17-point lead down to, like, 4. And so I think Nate McMillan rode them a little bit longer than they would have because the starters were shitting. And then he brings the starters back in, and then they go get waxed again. And it's just, like, I don't know what specifically isn't clicking for this group, but it's just not good. And over the course of 48 minutes, they break down. It's been inevitable at this point. So – I don't know about you, but they're off the bet list for me for a while.
Yeah, that's what I was about. I think we just stay away until we see a couple wins because it's – I mean, we've gotten them in two really good spots, right? 6 games on the road, struggling bad, first game back at home, everyone back healthy outside of Capella, and they still can't do it. Another spot here yesterday that we liked a lot against a struggling Knicks team, and they lose by – over 10 points or just around 10 points. You got to stay away from them right now.
Yeah.
Awful.
Awful.
They're one of the worst teams in the league, if we're being honest, like at this point.
Yeah, at this point, for sure. But let's get to the positive. We did cash 3 plays. So we went ahead We went to Starbucks. Our free coffee cashed easily. Right before the game, you should have seen me and Sarge. We were furious. I thought it was just like, I couldn't believe it. They were just fucking with us. It comes out. I've never seen a slight minutes limit before. It comes out right before the game. Amir Coffee, 24-year-old Amir Coffee, is on a slight minutes limit. And I me and Sarge talked. We're like, what does that mean? Like, you know, is that like, and I told him, I still think he plays 30. Like, I think he ended with 32. So, yeah, we're not tripping on that. But 20 points smashes is over by almost double. And then 26 combined points, rebounds, and assists, which was pretty easy. So we sweat free cash that in the third. And I say we keep riding it until the books adjust, bro.
100%. You got to keep riding it. And here's the thing, too, is the assist numbers, it would be interesting to go look at the assist opportunities that he had. But
not a couple.
He took – okay, so on a team with Reggie Jackson, Eric Bledsoe, Marcus Morris. He took the third most shots and
played the second most minutes.
People don't understand what his role is right now, and it is a creator, which when you get a point rebound assist number from a dude that's playing 33 minutes, that's doing a lot of primary ball handling and creating, it's really hard for them not to get there unless they have a completely off shooting night and their assist percentage is, or people aren't just hitting shots when they're passing the ball. It's so hard because the guy has so much usage and there's so many minutes. Even that, and that's what we talked about too. When we saw the slight minutes, it's like, I don't really care because even if he plays 28 minutes.
Oh, you were kind of mad, bro.
No, I know. I was mad because I was like, I don't want him to go out there and play 25 minutes again like last time. But spread was a lot closer in this one. We knew it was going to be a close game.
I hoped it wasn't, honestly.
Yeah, because San Antonio, but I mean, whatever. Amir Coffee, it's just you ride it until I'd honestly keep hitting it until the point prop gets to like 14 and a half. Like,
I'm with you. And to continue to get his points, rebounds, assists under 20 is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, that dude could literally score 20 points. But yeah, I'm with you. And I think it's important, right? Like, we got to be finding some of these props that, like, Yurtsevin's cashed his rebounds in like 15 straight games. And it sucks because, you know, we're here. We should be on shit like that. But I think we have a cash cow right now in Amir Coffee. And we're going to go get our free cup of coffee every single day until the books adjust. Quick poop break, real quick. Back. Last two recaps. Spurs pick them. Got there. Felt like it was the right side. They were winning for the majority of the game. Clippers made a little run for sure, third and early fourth, and made it a little scary. They actually started the fourth on a 12-2 run. I was like, God damn it. But we got there, and then Nuggets minus 3.5 was the easiest cash. So 3-2. I did feel like I left a little bit of money on the board. You know, maybe we go Raptors instead of Hawks. I did like the Raptors, and I was bummed I didn't hit them there. Outright win. And they honestly eat up the Bucks. And I loved how Nurse – like, I love how some coaches just aren't afraid to play their best players. And you saw that starting five basically played the whole game. You know, like, shit.
40 apiece.
Huh?
It basically played 40 apiece. Boucher would have played 40, but he didn't start the first half. He started in the second half. Otherwise, he would have hit 40 minutes too. But, yeah, he just ran those dudes every second possible.
Yeah, and I loved it. And then I was glad I should have hit the Bulls, bro. I should have hit the Bulls. You know, back-to-back 30-point blowouts, inconsistent Boston team. DeMar and Vooch kept him in it, and Ayo was unreal. But we talked about it. Ayo was like the swing piece, and you're like, he does play good sometimes, but, you know, he's still a rook. Played amazing yesterday. And then what did we say, bro? Right around that five, we thought it was just pure gambling. Cavaliers and Thunder, Cavs go win it by five.
You knew that was going to be the score. You just knew it.
Yeah, it was right around there. And there's no point. It was just a 50-50. And I think some people pushed it at five. Some people cashed Cavs minus four and a half. Some people cashed Thunder plus 5.5. Like, you know, it all comes down to – that would have been epic if you had, like, a small little hedge with, like, a Cavs minus 4.5, Thunder plus 5.5, and where you grab both. But that being said,
I think too, like, we did a great job of our stayaways. Like, we said stay away from the Portland Washington game because you just don't know what's going to happen with those two teams. And literally, it was such a shitty game. Like, two bad teams. Portland somehow pulls it off. Thank God, like, we didn't have any part of that game because that was just a shit show.
Yeah, I was never touching that game.
We said stay away from Brooklyn Pelicans, and we said stay away from Philly-Miami. The Philly-Miami looked like they were going to win the game. They were up, like,
I was watching that first half, and I was like, Miami's going to win this game.
Exactly, and that's what I was saying, too. I'm like, oh, man, like, Miami's going to win this. You liked Miami, and, like, that was a good call. And then all of a sudden, you see Joel and Philly come storming back in the second half, and I'm like, all right, just a good stay away. Like, I don't know. I thought we did a really good job on our leans yesterday.
Yeah. And I'm with you, bro. I feel pretty locked in. And you'll always take a 3-2 profit day, but it's always a little annoying when you think about really hard about a game. Like, you know, I thought about Raps Bucks for a while. I thought about Bulls Celtics for a while, and you don't pull trigger. But then same time, you know, like, I definitely leaned Miami yesterday. I almost hit him at -2 when Joel got moved to question mark. I was like, all right, Joel's sitting, I'll grab keep my -2. And then I was like, you know what? I already have 5 plays. I'm going to chill. So I'm with you. You know, it's good. Play what you love and then live with the results. But we've got.
I like the Siakam props because he always goes off against Milwaukee. And when they play small ball, he just seems to fill it up in the stat sheet and he goes for 30, 10, and 10. But
probably creaming watching that.
I know. But I knew, you know, when you have that feeling that someone is just. Yeah. I just felt it with him, and he always goes off against Milwaukee. And whenever he plays small ball 5 or, like, Chris Boucher's in there and they're doing a little bit of both, he always grabs rebounds and just – I'm just frustrated, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, you liked it, but you didn't push super hard for it.
Because the rebounds were at 8.5. That's what – I thought they'd be closer to 7.5, and he ended up getting 10, but he had, like, 8. Midway through the third quarter, and I was like, gosh darn it, like, he's for sure gonna hit it. And he slowed down a bit, but
still got there.
Yep.
All right, we got a small Sunday slate, but I got 2 plays on it, bro, and then we haven't even discussed props yet, so let's go ahead and get after this thing. We got the write-in game, a makeup game, Suns and the Detroit Pistons catching 11.5 at home. And I think this is just a spot I want to stay away from, quite honestly. I know the Pistons have been playing decent ball, and we actually had them last game, but there was a clear reason last game. You know, it was Dwayne Casey, who always plays his former team tough. They were off a blowout. They were at home. There were a lot of factors adding up to me saying, all right, take the points here. Today, though, I do think this number is sharp, and it's going to end right around here. You've seen it. The Pistons have had a tendency to follow up really good games with really absolutely terrible games. And it's one of those things where if you get a locked in version of the Suns and even an average version of the Suns are going to blast this Pistons team. But at the same time, if the Suns don't come locked in and the Pistons are, you know, playing to their capabilities, this game could go down to the wire. So for me, you joked about it yesterday, but I think it's one of those games where it's like, all right, the Suns either win by 25 or this stays really close. And for me, I don't really want to guess that.
Yeah, I don't want to guess either. It's basically the spread end at, or the line was at 10.5, I think, for the Toronto game. Was it not, or was it shorter than that?
I had Raptors plus 10.5, but it closed at 10.5.
It closed. Okay. I mean, like, on a neutral court, Phoenix is better than a point, or a point is more than a point better than the Phoenix Suns. But
Raptors,
or yeah, than the Raptors. Sorry, I'm losing my mind. But it's just Phoenix is on a little bit of a road trip here. They blasted Indiana last game. I don't think in any way they're losing this game. But you know, if they won by 8, 9, 10 points. I think what I'm trying to say is I lean Phoenix here. I think the most likely outcome is I think they win by more than 11.5 the majority of the time in this spot. But I don't know if it's enough for me to bet it. But it's definitely a lean for me with Phoenix here today. I know Detroit looked good last game. I just – Phoenix is a different beast.
I feel you. I got no lean here. personally, but I get it. You know, you look at this Phoenix team in January, they've won plenty of games by double digits. And I know the Pistons have shown up a couple games, but they're still among the worst in the league. So I get you. I get why you lean Suns. I personally, I got no lean. If you had to tell me to play side, I probably am with you. I'll go ride with the Suns, but it's not comfortable for me at all.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the rest of the games. I already locked Kings -5, and I know we've talked about it before. When you get a team playing another the same team a second time and you lost the first time, you generally get a better performance. But in this case, I think 5 is just so far off from what it should be in the first place that I'll still go back to it at 5. I would make this 7, 7.5. And even based on last game, I feel even more confident. Like the Kings really, they didn't really play all that well. But you could see when they locked in for stretches, 5-6 minutes, they go on 10-0 runs, 12-0 runs, and then the Rockets will make their way back into it. But I just think 5 is short enough that the Kings get there today. You just know with this Rockets defense, like you're going to be able to score 120, 125. And then it really just comes down to making sure the Rockets don't go, shoot 50% from the field. So I do think that the Kings win this by more than 5 the majority of the time. They were up 20 plus in the fourth and let the Rockets back in early fourth. And they only ended up winning by like 14 or 12 or whatever. But I think it's just more than enough cushion, you know, like maybe the Rockets show up today and play really, really hard and they lose by 7 still. Like, you know, like I just think 5 is too short here. The Kings are fighting for positioning. They know they got to get these games against teams like the Rockets, especially at home. And basically the same exact reasoning from the other day applies. And I'm just going to wrap it up.
Yeah, I get it. The only thing that scares me is same team, same place. Yep. You know, the Rockets have had 2 days to think about it in their hotel room or probably going out and raging in Sacramento, even though there's nothing to do there. But I think they're going to come out really, really trying to win this game. But like you said, when it's 48 minutes and it's the Houston Rockets defense, all you got to do or all you have to be is a decent team, and you're going to put up a ton of points. And I just don't think the Rockets can keep up with Sacramento. I think 5.5 is tough for me a little bit. I don't know if I'd lock it in, but if I had to choose a side, I'm definitely choosing Sacramento.
Come on, bro. What have the Rockets done to
– haven't done anything, honestly. They really haven't. But just I don't trust Sacramento, and that's why the last time I said it, I think you might just have a better read on Sacramento than I do.
I watch a lot of Kings games, and they're not good. But at home, like, they are good enough, you know? Like, it's similar to the Pelicans, where if the Pelicans are at home, unless they're playing an elite team, like, I think it'll be a close game.
They have great players, too. It's like Halliburton, Barnes, Holmes, Fox. Like,
Holmes should be back tonight, too. Buddy sucks, but he absolutely drills threes. Davion is not great offensively, but he's locked down. You know, like, there's just guys there. Chiozie Metu, Terrence Davis can get hot. Like, I just think over the course of the game, you have too many offensive weapons for the Kings. They're going to go on offensive runs, and their defense has looked a little bit better lately. So, I like the Kings to get it done here today, but I do like a prop that I want to run by you. Little sneaky here, but Jalen Green is from Fresno. I can pause if you need it, bro. You good? All right. So Jalen Green's from Fresno, pretty close to Sacramento. I would assume a decent amount of his family was at the game last night or 2 nights ago. Played 32 minutes, took 18 shots. Didn't shoot it well at all, but took 18 shots, most on the team. Only finished with 11 because he went 5 of 18, missed 13 shots. But I think everyone that was there at the game last time is going to be right back again today, making the short trip over from Fresno. And I think he's going to want to put a better performance on. I think you can count on, again, about 13 to 15 more shots. And you're getting the player prop today at 14.5, needs 15 points. So I honestly like that. I know we go through props here at the end, but because we're on this game, I wanted to run it by you. What do you think about this low-key hometown game and the 18 shots of usage last game?
Yeah, like, I didn't know he was from the area. I didn't even realize that.
He might be from like Modesto. No, yeah, he's from Fresno.
I knew he was from Fresno. That's right. Yeah, so he probably does have a bunch of family game. It took 18 shots, played 32 minutes. Damn, he shot horrible from the field. Holy smokes.
I mean, yeah. He shot about as bad as you can shoot from the field and scored 11 points.
So the props at 14 and a half?
Yeah, he'd need 15 points. I really think floor base level, he's getting 13 shots.
Yeah, and the spread's 240, man. Like, you're not – he averages 15 a game just in general. So you're getting maybe a half a point of value just in just off variance. And it's a high – it's – I mean, this is probably – we're not going to see a 240 spread in a really long time. I'm just letting you know that right now. So if there's a game for him to do it and it's a hometown game for him, I do really like that. I think, you know, you are betting a little bit on him making shots, but when he takes 18, he only has to really make six. And Jalen Green goes to the line a lot. A lot of people think with his game, it's kind of just jacking long range shots and a lot of mid range, but he will have a lot of games where he goes to the line, you know, seven times. He had a game against Denver a while back where he went to the line 14 times, but other than that, six times he went to the line, 5, 4, 4, 7. So he's getting to the line a good amount. I do think that's a bet that I would support.
All right, bro. I'm glad I got your support on it because I'm officially playing that as well. I know you probably don't like, oh my God, lock button Amir Coffey, but you like it. You like it.
Yes.
All right. Perfect. Well, that is locked in. Sneaky home revenge game. Not sneaky home revenge game. Hometown game for him. Family's going to be there.
He's got to knock down some more three. Like, listen to this. He's 2 for 7 from three, 1 for 6, then 2 for 6, then 0 for 6, and 1 for 6. They're going to start falling. He's a much better shooter than that.
Exactly. So I'm with you. Let's get to the next game. But two plays on that game. Next game is the Warriors and the Timberwolves. I think we are aligned on this one as well. Give me the Timberwolves -4.5 for sure today. Love the spot, right? So we've got the Warriors missing Draymond, missing Steph Curry, might be missing Gary Payton. I wouldn't be surprised if you see an Otto Porter sit or an Andre Iguodala sit closer to lock. On top of that, you have the Timberwolves having not played since Tuesday, I think, maybe Wednesday. Regardless, they have had 2 to 3 days off. They lost two in a row. One was against a really good performance of the Pelicans at home, and they still almost, were able to withstand that. Like, the Pelicans played really, really well in offense. And then the other was at Memphis against arguably the hottest team in the NBA. So you get two losses where it's not like they sucked. They just got outperformed by two teams that played the best version of themselves. And then you have a couple days to sit on this, come back at the crib and play a Steph Curry-less, Draymond Green-less Golden State Warriors. You know you're going to get the best effort from the Timberwolves today. I definitely think there's more than 1.5 point difference. It's a long road trip for the Warriors that they're in the midst of. I think just everything points to the T-Wolves here. I'll take them at a very, very short number.
I was thinking about what I would set this line at. I think I would set it at 6.5. Is that too much?
I think I'd set it at 6.
Because I get it. The Warriors played really well last game, and they destroyed Chicago. That game wasn't close ever. Like, it was done at halftime. But you now take Steph off the floor. I'm assuming Iggy probably sits. He always does when Steph and Draymond are out. Maybe no Gary Payton. Minnesota is good, man. I still don't think they get the credit that they deserve. Like, they're a good, well-coached basketball team.
And everyone's back, you know? Like, you look – a lot of times, if you're just, like box score schedule looking and you see they've lost some of their games, but towards the end of December, they weren't healthy. You know, you have D'Angelo Russell, – Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns all playing, and that hasn't even been the case. D'Lo's missed a decent amount of games. Ant had COVID for a while. Then Kat had COVID. So they're finally getting the guys back, and I just think this is a wonderful spot for them. And then you still have Beverly too. You still have Malik, Jared Vanderbilt. Everyone is there, basically. I think Jalen Noel's even back today. So I wouldn't be surprised if the T-Wolves win this by damn 25, honestly.
Yeah, I think they win this game pretty handily. Like I said – If I had to guess, I think they win by close to 10 points. I do. I just think they're the much better team, and the line is really, really short. So
and motivation's there, you know, two straight losses, and you sit on that. We'll get to the props later, but I do want to get your take on some of these Warrior props with no Steph, because you got Wiggins, Clay, and Poole all with decently low-ish props given the usage that's open, and we can go through that. But let's keep it rolling with the last game. So we got Kings minus 5 locked, Jalen Green over 14.5 points locked, T-Wolves minus 4.5 locked. I think this is the first time I'm fading the Warriors. But I think that, you know, this is the time. I think they'll get hot eventually when Draymond gets back, Steph gets healthy. This is the time to fade the Warriors. But let's get to the last game, the Jazz and the Nuggets. I'll tell you, you know, I wanted, before I knew the line that was coming out, I wanted to be on the Jazz today for sure. You know, they've lost a bunch of games, kind of similar to the Timberwolves, where you're getting a really good team that hasn't had their guys, now having all their guys back after a bunch of days off to sit on these losses. So I think you get a really good version of the Jazz here today. At the same time, though, the books are definitely, you know, expecting that, because they're giving a major respect. They're making an 8-point difference right now, which is, again, they were online. They're locked in with this. I think they're expecting the best version of the Jazz today. And, you know, for all of what I said, you look on the other side, and it's still a Nuggets team that is going to fight. And that you can't, just because you're getting the best version of the Jazz doesn't mean you can just disrespect the Nuggets and throw them out the window. You got Nikola Jokic, and you saw they're vibing. You know, they're getting bench production from Bones and Zeke. Jeff Green's playing really well. Aaron Gordon's playing really well. Monty and Will Barton are back. And then you got the MVP in the center of it. So I think this line is fair. If this was Jazz minus 2.5 or less, maybe even 3, I'd consider it. But up to 5, I'm going to stay away, and I could easily see a Jazz win by, you know, 2, 3, 4 at the end.
Yeah, I'm going to say, but when I first saw the line, I was like, this has got to be a game where we take the Jazz. They're coming back. They're healthy. They've been bad. Lost a ton of games without Gobert. Gobert's finally back. Maybe I wonder what this line would be at if Utah hadn't had the stretch that they had without Gobert. You know, there's no way it's still 5, right? I think it's closer to like 6.5. I think they get like 9.5 on a neutral court if they were still rolling the way they were and hadn't lost Gobert and had run through those teams. Because
I mean, that's a lot of respect for the Jazz. I get that. I just, 9, like, this Nuggets team is not, you know, a bunch of idiots. I mean, it kind of is in a sense, but at the same time, it's not. I don't know. I don't know. I really felt like this line's higher. Like, 5 is a lot. Like, you go back. Let me check what they were, because they played in Denver without Rudy. Like,
I think they lost by 8 or 7.
The Nuggets? Right?
Well, they lost by 6. Yeah.
Yeah. But what was the spread is what I'm curious about.
Oh, I don't know.
So, yeah, they won by 6. And the Jazz came into that game as a – See, 1.5-point dog. And they won that by
without Gobert.
But that was without Gobert. But still, you know, like, with Gobert, it's 5. Like, I know Gobert is very, very valuable, but it's a 6-point difference from that game. I think they're giving the respect to the Jazz today. Like, they've moved the line in a way that makes it very tough to bet on the Jazz, is all I'm saying. I'm staying away.
I think just talking through it, you're kind of getting me off the Jazz, but you just
– I think they play great today, bro. But if 5 at home in Denver, like, that team is a good team in Denver.
I know. And they're coming off a back-to-back where they absolutely smacked the Lakers, so you didn't get Jokic playing his full allotment of minutes, or all these guys, you know, where you're scared about them being a bit tired off the back-to-back because these guys didn't play. So
that was money. I was just watching Zeke. They never look for him, though. Bone shoots it every time.
Every time. Oh, he was one away from the franchise record.
He legitimately launches it every possession. I know they were already winning and smacking it up, but it's like, bro, there are 4 other guys. And props, he hit a lot of them. But, like, there are 4 other dudes on the court. The dude was just in his own open gym. You got to give me are you leaning something? You can't just.
I'm leaning Jazz. I'll be honest. I'm leaning Jazz.
Okay, that's fair. I'm not even I wouldn't even say I have a lean here, bro. Like, I think the Jazz come locked in here today, but I don't know. Like, you have to be really good to cover a 5-point spread in Denver. In Denver.
Yeah, I know. And I think Utah's that good.
Oh, fuck me, man.
What?
Gary ruled out. I love watching Gary, bro. He gets so many rebounds and steals and blocks and alley-oops.
I like that for Minnesota -4.5, though.
I do, too. But, like, I wanted a Washington Gary today, bro. And I think Minnesota could have covered it even with him. All right, bro. We only had 4 games today. I'm not ready to go yet. So let's walk through some props. I see your brain churning a little bit. I'll pull up the
props. Like,
you tell me a player or two. We can run through.
I'm gonna do Diallo.
Let's check it out. It's loading up. But again, I think it's important that we don't have bias, right? Like, what would you make the line? And we got to make sure that something like this has value.
So Hamidou has been playing a ton of minutes. I've been watching a lot of Detroit games. Outside of the Chicago game where they got absolutely waxed, he's been playing like 25 plus minutes. And he's taking a decent amount of shots. I would,
dude. I think if started like,
what?
Has the game fucking start? Dude, we're retarded, bro. The game already started. I was like, I'm not getting any props for this game.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, dumb.
But it started at 1 o'clock.
No, dude, it starts at 10. We're all talking about props. It's literally about the tip any second. So we just got to move on from there. But you can call your shot now. The game hasn't started. If you want to, it's good. If you're wrong, no one will remember it because they didn't bet it. If you're right, you can claim it on the pod tomorrow. So
I would set the line at 10.5, and I would go over with Hami.
I would guess it's higher than 10.5.
I don't think it is, bro.
You know
what? Last 5 games, 12 points, 17, 10, 7, 18. 9, 11 before that. I think it's right around 10.5, and I would take
it. Right. All right, let me pull it up. Hamidou Diallo over 13.5 points, bro. Yeah, see?
Yeah, no thank you there.
Yeah. All right, let's keep it rolling with the games that we do have. I already gave you guys the Jalen Green point prop special. I know, look, we're just getting cheeky because it's Sunday and we don't have a lot. But De'Aaron Fox is in a groove, and I think I think the Rockets are a team that plays really well to its strengths because you don't have any good on-ball defenders and they play really fast. And then they don't really have, you know, Christian Wood can be a rim protector. Daniel Tice can be a rim protector, but it's not like they're elite rim protectors in any way, shape or form. So you're getting a fast up-tempo matchup for a guy who I think is heating up. He knows trade rumors are around.
The Rockets have no rim protectors. You can't say it. They have zero.
I'm just trying to give some – like, I'm not trying to disrespect Wood and Tice. But, yeah, they don't. And you're getting a De'Aaron Fox who thrives in those situations. So he scored 27 points last game, 29 the game before. He had a couple bad games against Cleveland and Portland. But before that, scored 30 points in 3 straight games. You can get De'Aaron Fox today at – 30.5 at plus 209. Like, the dude had 27 points in 3 quarters last game. Like, I don't know that I'm going to make this like an official play, but if you're trying to build a parlay, De'Aaron Fox at over 30.5 plus 209, I like. If you want to really go ham, you can get him at like 35 plus 413. I know it's a lot, but I like Eric Gordon props too, Jalen Green. I think that's it for Houston Sack. Do you have anyone that you'd like?
No, especially on Sack. Sack's really tough because they have so many guys, and then you'll have games where Buddy goes in there and just hauls up 15 threes a game, you know? Yeah. So props for the Kings is really sketchy to me. If I would go to one, it'd probably be De'Aaron Fox points, like you said, just because he's been playing a lot better, actually making shots finally. So if you are going to go to someone, maybe De'Aaron Fox. That's about it.
And I think the Rockets are like 30th in points given up in the paint. And De'Aaron, even when he's not hitting shots.
Dude, the Rockets are probably 30th in points given up in the paint, 30th in points given up from three, 30th in lack of turnovers, 30th in everything, dude.
Yeah, you don't have fun. You're telling me you haven't had fun watching them this year?
It's so frustrating.
What about out in Denver, bro? You like anything out there?
See, that is,
it's tough. You got two full squad. Like, obviously they're missing MPJ and Jamal, but we've seen that for a while now. You really, it's just gambling too. You know, every prop is right where they should be based on the numbers. It's really hard to find an edge in that game, unless
especially with a team like Denver. There's so much data on all those guys at this point that I feel like the books are pretty locked into what those guys should be at. Like, it's not like you have an Amir Coffey out of nowhere where they just don't have data and they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
A lot of Denver guys, like Monty Morris, Will Barton, Eric, like those guys have been there for a while now. Like, they're pretty locked into it. So yeah, for me, really tough to try to get an edge with Denver and points props. I mean, maybe Jeff Green. I doubt there's anything there, but he's been playing actually really well. Let me pull some stuff up. So
what do you want to go points?
Maybe points, rebounds, and assists.
All right. What would you need points, rebounds, assists to be to hit it?
Let me look at something real quick.
Because they do.
So Jeff Green last two games has played 30 and 28. They were both wins by over 30 points. So I think you get even a couple more minutes in a close game. He scored 26 against the Lakers and 19 against Portland, then 12, 16, 18. You actually might get a big prop there. I didn't realize the three games before. I just saw the last two games. But I don't know if his points prop is like under 13.5. I think it's something – if it's like 13.5 or less, I think it's something that you could hit the over on. It's just
– 12.5.
I like the over, bro. I don't – it's definitely a lean for me. I mean, you got to look what he's done the last five games. 18 points, 16 points, 12 points, 19 points, 26 points. In 15 minutes against Sacramento, that doesn't count. 22, 21, then 30 and 28 in the last two blowouts where they won by 32. He's now starting. I think that's something that's really interesting.
And then you have – you have young JaMychal out, right? So it's like
Jeff. Michael's out. And so JaMychal's out. And Austin Rivers has been out too, which I think low key is helping his minutes a bit.
Yeah. No, 100%. It's just, you know, I've seen it now with Kuz, but it's low, you know, like the and the points rebounds prop is at 17.5.
And here are the shots with Jeff Green, too. It's not like he's – I mean, he is being very efficient, but it's 9 shots, 10, 16, 11, 14. I mean, he's taking a ton, 5 threes, 4, 3, 3. Getting shots up, the minutes are up in the right direction. 12 is a low number. He's scored 12 or more in the last five games.
Yeah, I think we're taking a good look at that one, bro. I really do. I like that one. I the thing is, like, I think even more so than spreads, player props are more variant because it's just like you can get the required amount of shots and still not get there. You know, like it's those are the first, like Kuz yesterday, you got 18 shots, six, but at the same time, you can't let that discourage you. But
and also, though, like with a guy like Kuz, that's still a big number. I know he's gotten there the majority of time, but there's a lot more variance with a guy like Kuzma at 32.5 than I feel like there is for Jeff Green at 12.5 points scored when the minutes are trending up and the shots have already been there. I don't know. I could be wrong.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think the statement is it's just harder to consistently go over 33 than 13 for sure. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, I'm just saying I already have Jalen Green out. I only want to do one more player prop. So I want to get through it and then I'm going to go with, you know, our favorite one that we discussed, but
yeah. It could be from Golden State because they have probably a lot of opportunity there with all the guys out.
And that's where we're going to go. So I think the big thing is understanding like Clay, you know, because the last time they had were without Steph and Dre, they played in New Orleans and they honestly looked god awful. I was on Wiggins props. I was on Poole's props. And Wiggins actually got there. It was 20.5. He scored 21, shot 7 of 17 from the field. Poole shot 3 of 14 from the field and just was in no rhythm. Herb Jones had him in jail. So I think that honestly, we have a couple like good looks because I like Jordan Poole over 17.5 for that same reason of last time Steph was out and they called on him, he sucked. You know that's in his mind. You know it's human nature. Like, I got to show him. So I think 17 and a half is definitely within range, and he's been playing really well. I mean, last game he only played 28 minutes, took 19 shots, scored 22 points. And then you also have Andrew Wiggins in Minnesota. I don't think it's a salty thing, but it's like, hey, like, I want to see I want you guys to see me with my new girl, like, I'm hooping type of deal. It's at 20 and a half. He should probably take the most shots, probably just because of the minutes. But then you also have Clay, who, you know, that they just said, hey, like, his minutes are going to be trending up. It's going to go more from, you know, 20 to 25. And you see these last couple games, Clay in 20 minutes against Cleveland took 18 shots. In 19 minutes against Memphis took 13 shots. In 20 minutes against Milwaukee took 11 shots. I think you're going to get –
oh, he's getting them up, man. Like, every game I've watched, he is getting those things.
Yeah, and I think he plays 25 minutes today. So, I don't hate his over 16 and a half. He's going to take 12 to 15 shots
today. I'd rather hit Klay Thompson over 16 and a half than I would Wiggins over 20 and a half. How do you feel about that?
It's hard because I think the minutes are – the minutes floor is much higher for Wiggins. But the shots are obviously are going to be coming at a much higher rate. And that's the thing with Clay right now is, like, he has improved, you know, like, it's not like he's incapable of getting to the rim, but, like, a lot of it is just going to be jumpers. And he's clearly not the Clay of old of right now. And it's not really necessarily even fair to expect that, but, like, it just comes down to if he's going to hit the shots. I think he's good for 15 shots, honestly. Like, I know he only took 18 against the Cavs, and that was the first game, and he's only taken 13 and 11 since. But without Steph today and the bump in minutes, I really like Clay over 16 and a half.
Yeah, I do too. I think that's a great number to, like, I think Clay should be closer to 18.
I do too.
I just think there's going to be a ton of shots there. I think they're going to lean on him a little more with no Steph and no Dre. I know Poole's going to get his. I know Wiggins is going to get his. But I know they're trying to get Clay involved right now. Like,
yeah, and you know, like, sometimes the minutes are there for a player and the shots aren't. Clay, whether he's in a rhythm or not, is going to get him up today. He's going to get him up today. So I really – the more we talk through this, bro, I really do like hitting Clay over 16 and a half. Just needs to score 17 points.
And the thing with Clay too is it's not Clay where he's getting all the attention, right? Like, it's not like they're running dudes at Clay to make sure that Wiggins beats him or Poole beats him. People aren't game planning for Clay. He's coming back from injury. Like, they're just going to treat him as another guy out there. It's not, you know, it's not like Clay Thompson is going to have game plans run against him at this point. It's going to be just free-flowing Clay, like, just playing basketball and getting as many shots up as he can. And guys really looking for him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think you should also talk about Looney props against a big in Towns. Yeah, the fouls could be scary. But if he gets – if Looney is, you know, getting some low-ball props, I think they're worth looking at.
It's just the normal with him. Over 6.5 on the points prop. Over 7.5 on the rebound prop.
So the rebound prop is up, but when I looked at this last time, he had a stretch where he was scoring 6 or more points in almost every game. So
I know, but it's 6.5 today.
It is. It's not 5.5.
Mm-mm. 6.5. I like.
I'll lay off then.
And it's -122.
Yeah, definitely lay off then. You know, and the rebounds is up to 7.5. You got to lay off of that too.
I mean, literally before Chicago and Milwaukee had scored 6 points in 5 straight games, you know, like that's kind of his number. And I could see him getting 7 points for sure today, but I think it's more so of a toss up than anything.
Yeah, it's just a coin flip. And you don't want a coin flip on Kevon Looney points, I'll tell you that much.
No, I was already nervous enough in that one game when he got foul trouble. But I'm with you, bro. I think we take a good hard look at Clay and Jeff Green today.
I think my favorite is going to be Jeff Green at 12 and a half.
Yeah, it's just a low number.
I think it's really low, and the numbers are trending up. And he just played 28 or more minutes in 2 blowouts. He's taking a good amount of shots, like 13, 14 shots a game. he looks explosive. Like, he has a couple banging dunks.
Uncle Jeff, I don't know where he gets his shit from, but he had heart surgery. He's like damn near 36, and he's still out here just hooping wherever he goes. Houston, he made an impact. Brooklyn, he made an impact. Now he's out in Denver hooping. So I'm with you, bro. The more I think about Clay, though, it is. I definitely rather bet the over than the under. But at the same time, 17 is still a good amount of points and a number that he hasn't reached yet. Make sure – let me go through it. I want to make sure that I saw the thing right about his minutes going up today.
Where did you see it on Twitter?
Yeah, Anthony Slater actually does a really, really good job covering us. Like, he gets the little shit that us fantasy and bettors, that type of stuff we want to know. Okay, when I type Clay Thompson, it didn't come up, so I'm just gonna go to the beat reporter. Yep, I see it. Steve Kerr said a day ago, the plan is to bump Clay Thompson's minutes up on Sunday. Not a ton, but up from 20 to about 24, 25. But Kerr said it was important to see Clay play 10 straight quarter minutes yesterday without any issues. So yeah, I think I'm gonna jump on Jeff Green and Clay, and suddenly we've got fucking five plays again on a Sunday, bro.
Hey, we've been rolling, we've been grinding. I feel like we're very confident. We're talking through all these plays. Like, I don't think it's we're not forcing anything.
Yeah, like, let's recap before we head out, so we can just make sure, you know, any last minute devil's advocate we can get out of the way. Clay Thompson over 16.5 points. No Steph Curry. No Draymond Green. I know Dre doesn't take a ton of shots. We're getting a minutes bump, right? So naturally, I don't even know if the books, like, maybe they've heard about it, but, like, you know, he's taken 17 shots, 13 shots, and 11 shots, getting more minutes now. Like you said, Jordan Poole, Wiggins will be receiving more of the attention, and Clay can either catch and shoot or catch it and attack off of that. They need to lean on him. Minnesota is not a terrible defensive team, but they're not unreal. So yeah, I think we're good there. Jeff Green, you talked about it. He scored 12 or more in six of his last six games or something like that. No JaMychal Green at home, short, like, it's 12.5.
Starting now, minutes projected, minutes trending upwards.
If we don't get it, it's just because he shot terribly, but we're betting on the usage, right? And then Jalen Green, 18 shots in his last game. Sneaky hometown game. A lot of his family and friends are there. You saw a direct result of that in 18 shots. You already know you're on the right side of the variance, right? He's had a bad couple games. You know it's coming. And the thing, beautiful thing over there is you don't even need him to shoot it, like, amazingly, you know? He can go 7 of 18 and score 15 points today.
That's like what I'm saying. A lot of these two
on the line.
Even if some of these guys don't shoot particularly well, they can still get there with some of these lines. And that's why I like them, especially with the Jeff Green line and the Jalen Green line. Like, they don't even have to really be that efficient, and they're still going to be able to get there.
Yep. And then on the spreads, we got Kings -5. It's 5.5. I watched almost every minute of the last game. Kings scored at will, and then all it takes is a couple stretches where they get consistent stops on the Rockets. The Rockets honestly came back a couple times. The Rockets had a couple 10-0 runs of their own and still lost by 12. I just think there's a lot of cushion there with 5. The Kings can fuck up for a quarter. The Kings can fuck up here. And ultimately, if they put together a good stretch, like a lot of teams do at home against this Houston Rockets team, they cover 5. Lastly, we got the Minnesota Timberwolves off of 2 straight losses, but both those losses, they honestly played well against teams that put up really good efforts. They've had 3 days off. They're playing a Golden State Warriors team who are without their 2 best players. And even without those 2 best players, it's still the Golden State Warriors. They get that respect. You know, teams aren't coming into a game sleepwalking against the Warriors. They want to beat the Warriors anytime that you have a shot. They're back at home after 3 days. It's a short number at 4.5. It's just a similar spot to the Spurs or Lakers yesterday. Don't overreact to 2 losses.
You know what we should look at real quick before we head out of here?
What?
Is Is there any frost for Trey Lyles?
Bro, that game has started. Are you just trolling?
Oh, my God. I forgot. I keep thinking it's starting at 1.
Bro, the game is at like halfway through that first quarter. But let me check the points for you so you can brag. Homie, 2 points, 1 of 1 from the field. Trey Lyles has not checked in the game. But if Homie and Trey Lyles score a lot of points, you can definitely have that as bragging rights tomorrow morning. Thank you, everyone, who tuned in. Ended up getting 5 plays. On a 4-game slate at the end of this. But we like we said, we're locked in and we have reasons, very strong reasons. The points prop, they do scare me because all it takes is a bad showing. But I think there's enough buffer there with all three of those guys with the amount of shots they take today that with all three of those guys, they don't even have to shoot it super well to get there on all three of those. So good luck with whatever you play. Sergeant and I will be back tomorrow. We're going to keep the streak going, try and stay locked in for you guys. Good luck with everything you bet, whether it be NBA or NFL. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake, let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island is now open weekends.